Welcome to Pop Culture Fuck, Marry, Kill. We're your hosts. I'm Brandi Johnson.
And I'm Kristen Gunn.
Every episode, we break down the good, the best, and the absolute trash in pop culture and decide which one is our fuck, marry, or our kill of the week.
Now, as you guys know, we don't ever fuck, marry, or kill people because we're classy ladies, but all of the stuff we're consuming way too much of.
It's the classic game you know and love, but this time it has a spicy pop culture twist.
All right, we're going to get into it. But before we do, Brandi, do we have any follow-ups or calls?
So I feel like this whole episode is going to be a mix of follow-ups and new things and honorable mentions. We'll get to that in a second. We do have one call, though, from a caller named Beth, friend of the pod. This is our last call of 2020. It also might be a little bit dated because we haven't recorded a pod in a while because the earth was melting. But nevertheless, we're going to play it, and I will play that now.
Hi, Brandi and Kristen. This is Beth, a longtime listener, first-time caller. And I have a fucking follow-up on Get Organized with the Home Edit. Basically, just to say thank you both for killing it on your recent podcast. Watched the first episode, could not have agreed with you more on the content. Like, A, how dare you put your feet that have been God knows where in Elle Woods' slippers. B, I feel like a show, call me crazy, feel like a show about organizing should just be a lot less stressful and chaotic than this show is. And C, even though I did not enjoy the first episode, I then went on to watch the second episode solely because I love Retta. I miss Retta, seeing her on Parks and Rec, and I just wanted some more Retta. So I watched her episode, and it is unfortunately no better than the first episode. Clea actually has a full-on meltdown about a plastic bin not fitting in a cabinet. And truthfully, in my opinion, the best part of the room is the part that Retta actually organized herself before the home edit even got there. So yeah, thanks for killing it, both the home edit and for killing it with this podcast. I appreciate you both. You bring such joy and light into these dark times, and keep doing what you're doing. Bye.
Oh, that's so sweet. Thanks, Beth. I've never been anyone's joy in a dark time, so.
That's a lie, and you know it. Yes, thank you for calling, Beth. It has been what feels like 2 years since we watched the home edit, and we both wanted to kill it. I'm glad that you're reporting that the kill was warranted. Have no interest in ever watching or following those people ever again. This is our end of the year, end of 2020, the Viking funeral that it deserves. We have somehow made it this far. And this episode, instead of just having one or sometimes even two, because the rules are loosey-goosey, F, M, or K, and some honorable mentions. This is basically just going to be a smorgasbord of all the things, honorable mentions, and big-time FMKs. Each, Kristen and I both have several for each fuck, marry, and kill, because we're sort of doing the whole year in this end-of-year shebang. And so we're just going to go kind of rapid-fire. Some of the ones, that we really want to talk about, we'll dig into a little bit more. Otherwise, we're just going to go blow right through them and hopefully talk about all the things that we have not talked about that happened this year, which feels like 10 years long.
Yeah. But I will say too, you know, since we're going to go so fast and there's not a lot of commentary, it would make my heart whole to hear everyone else's commentary. So call in. Brandi, do you have the number handy?
Have the number handy. Yeah. Call our phone number is 805-628-BOOP. That's 805-628-2667.
Yeah. And tell us what your fuck, marry, kills for the year retrospective are, or if you want to elaborate on any of the stuff we talk about, I would want to put you on the pod in your beautiful telephone voicemail voice.
Absolutely. Plus one, what she said. So we're going to start with the fucks.
Rainey, you go first.
Okay, I'm going to go first. So a lot of my numero unos for the FM and the K are, no surprise, TV related. So the first thing, there was some good TV this year, despite everything, thank God. So my first fuck is The Boys season 2. It's the Amazon show. Kristen's making a face. You guys can't see it. I assume that she's seen a trailer and hates it, which is what I expected.
I know, I watched the whole first season and it is definitely, spoiler alert, on my kill list.
Ooh.
Yeah.
But you didn't watch season 2.
No, I mean, maybe I will if it's like a slow day, but okay. That's interesting. And yeah. What's your like haiku case for why it's a fuck?
I don't know, except that here's the thing. I thought I would hate it, was vehemently against it. My husband was like, I really think you're going to like it actually. And I was like, I don't think you're right. And then I finally was like, we don't have anything to watch. And so I caught up on all of season 1 and we watched season 2 together. And I was like, oh, this is actually excellent. I don't know. I like it. There's things about it that I absolutely hate. It's very aggro, which I hate, but there are other parts about it that I find very funny. And like the idea of corporatized superheroes, I like and find very realistic, I guess. I don't know. I like it.
Yeah. I like the promise more than the delivery, right? Like I like the idea of superheroes as corporately owned product. Like, you know, social media superstars. My haiku would be, it's not Mark Paul Gosselaar. Everyone here is stupid.
Okay, well, when we get to it for your kill, you can dig into a few more reasons.
Great, great, great. Okay, so my first fuck is something we have not talked about on the pod yet this year, because it's a new fuck for me as of recently. It is the show Better Things on FX.
Oh, Pamela Adlon joint.
Yes. You know, Louis C.K. is still in our collective doghouse. He is the creator with Pamela. She was on Louis with him at times. She was also on Californication. Those are the two places I know her from. I was really anti the show just because I find her to be a little bit brash. That's like her brand. And also being approaching middle-aged divorce woman myself, I just like was like, ugh, I don't need a cliche middle-aged divorce woman TV show, middle-aged divorce mom, you know, boo. And a friend of mine really encouraged me to watch it and actually forced me to sit down and watch a couple of episodes. And like, I have laughed out loud, very loud, and teared up too in the same like minutes. So it's good. It's worth your time.
Okay. Have heard good things, never watched it.
There you go. All right, what's your next fuck, Brandy?
Okay, we talked about this a little bit, but we didn't talk about the resolution, and that's going to be that Quibi is dead. Not much more to say except that we were right. Quibi was a stupid fucking idea, and like a gazillion billion dollars couldn't save it. So, bye, Quibi.
The ding dong, the Quib is dead.
That's right. All right, Kristen, what's up next?
Okay, so this is on my list because it is something that has gotten me through dark times. It's something I watch on repeat over and over and over again and even fall asleep to at times. And that is Bob's Burgers.
Oh, yes.
It is just like my warm, fuzzy comfort coat and food all at the same time. It's like if you could eat your woovie and it would be both as satisfying as like the best chocolate cake and also as comforting as your threadbare childhood blanket. That's what it is to me.
That's what woovie is your blanket?
Woovie. Yeah, it's called a woovie.
Oh, I don't know anything about this.
Well, that's not what I... Okay, we can just move on.
Yeah, I fall asleep to Bob's Burgers constantly. So support this decision.
Yes, yes, yes. All right, Brandy, fuck away.
Megan Thee Stallion is my next fuck. She's had a huge year. Savage is huge on TikTok, which I'm not on, but I know that, so I'm gonna say it. WAP, we did talk about some of the commentary around WAP, but like that song still lives rent-free in my mind. So does the video. Her performances on SNL were awesome. She just released her first full-length album. She's just like really having a moment, and I just really, really fucking like her.
Yeah, so, cool. Yeah. Sweet. Yeah. Sweet, sweet. Okay, so my next one, this is relevant to like today. So John Krasinski just dropped a surprise episode of Some Good News that is hosted by him. Special guest stars George Clooney, among others. And I haven't watched the whole thing, but I kind of like saw some boops of it, and it was delightful. And, you know, I think everybody was rightfully so very perturbed that they quickly went from being this lovable, the people's Instagram show to, I don't know, fucking Peacock by them or something.
Yes. Yeah, something weird. They went like, big man.
Yeah, but like not big man good. Like it wasn't like, no. it's not like it's going to be a morning show, which is what it should be. It's like, you know, Peacock's next. It's not Peacock, but you know, like NBC, no, CBS. Oh, CBS Online or CBS All Access.
That's the worst one.
Yeah, so they sold out to like if you're going to sell out to like, you know, the Prince of Wales or something. But anyway, not just like the Duke of my ass. Anyway, so there's a new episode out. It's great. I'm not going to hate on him making a buck because I would too. But, you know, take a peek if you miss some good news OG.
I definitely do. And I didn't know that. So I'm going to find me those boops. I need some boops.
you need a little hit of the boop.
I do. Okay. My next one is actually two books that I read this year. I also read books. It's a thing. It's also entertainment. There were phases where I was book reading. I mean, I love book reading, but anyway, and those two books are two books that came out this year. One may have came out late 2019, but I'm going to count it because time is meaningless. And the first book is Mexican Gothic, and it's basically set in the 40s, spooky Mexican manor on a cliffside, and various supernatural things happen. It's actually being made into a movie. Looking forward to that. The second book is The Southern Book Club's Guide to Slaying Vampires, which was an absolute thrill. I mean, just a thrill ride. This group of ladies in the 90s like has a book club, but they love just reading like really like scary, nasty, true crime, helter skelter type things. And their husbands are like, ew, why? You should read other things. And so they slice them in between with like really earnest, like rom-com type books. And then they'll jump to the next one anyway. And then like a vampire comes to town and they have to band together to kill it. It's fucking fantastic. And I hope that that gets turned into like some frothy HBO show or something like that, because it absolutely deserves it. So two books for you. Google them because I didn't write the author names down. Kristen, what's up with you?
Okay. No commentary needed. Schitt's Creek.
Numero uno. Love it.
Yeah.
Okay. My next fuck is not the show Lovecraft Country, because I was actually pretty disappointed by the show itself, but Journey Smollett in Lovecraft Country was the reason to watch that show. She is fantastic. She is gorgeous. She acted the fucking fuck out of that script, and I just enjoyed watching her week over week. Even when the actual story and episodes were a little lackluster, she managed to just like shine. So Journey Smollett and Lovecraft Country.
She'll probably mean a lot more stuff now, so
Which is great. Okay.
This is more of a pop culture phenomena that's happening. I don't know if pretty sure this probably happens to everybody. Now when I watch anything, if there are big crowd scenes, like I physically like hurt, Like, oh God. And then I'm like, oh, that's funny. That's really funny that like, we're going to be those people, like we're going to be the weird depression era grandmas one day that have all the weird isms. Like, why did grandma save the frying oil in the coffee can? Well, she went through the depression, honey. Like, why is grandma hyperventilating in the you know, scene in the movie where everybody is in a crowd at a baseball stadium? Well, Grandma Kristen lived through the, you know, 2020 pandemic.
Yeah, I keep waiting for like the coined term for that, like flinch. Mm-hmm. Like, it's the same game that I play in my brain, which is like, you see a movie or a show, they're in just like a restaurant, nothing matters, everything's casual. And it's just like, let me play the game of when in 2019 was this filmed? Because,
oh, right.
You know?
Totally. I just started watching, I haven't finished it, but I just started watching Tenet last night. And the opening scene, this is not a spoiler for anything, but the opening scene is a packed opera house. Mm. And it's like, oh fuck, when did they shoot this? Oh, I mean, obviously movies are made many years before the release, but still it's like, you know.
I do that exercise like basically every time I'm watching new content, which is just like kind of mentally exhausting.
Right. Side note, when are we going to stop having voicemails that give instructions on to how to record a voicemail? Like, why can't we just say blorp? And then you leave a message because like, you know how to leave a message, you know, you to leave a message after the beep. Anyway,
can I ask, where did that, is that related to Tenet? Is there a voicemail through line in Tenet? What just happened? It's just a thing that has bothered you. I agree.
It's just keep on going.
Hey, that counts. I agree.
Technology. I don't know. It seemed related in my mind, Brandy. Don't question me right now.
Noted. Okay. The next thing that I have is, I don't think we talked about this, but did we talk about the Charlize Theron movie on Netflix, The Old Guard?
No.
Okay. Well, I enjoyed it for what it was. I thought it was a pretty good action flick for Netflix. There's kind of a, I don't want to say supernatural, but I will, twist about who these assassins are. And I just remember thinking, okay, that was a pretty solid afternoon of quarantine watching that movie. Not bad.
Cool. I'll take a peek. My next one is not Love is Blind, which we covered on the show in all of its delightful frothiness. But all of the memes that have sprung forth from, you know, Venus's womb from this amazing show. Like, there are so many fucking funny, delicious memes. A lot of them are ones you post on the internet on our Pop Culture FMK Instagram account. But yeah, really dig all the memes. Love is Blind. Go check that out.
100%. I think the most recent one that I just saw, like, I hadn't seen one. They had been dormant for a while, but then I finally saw one that was just like a picture of Jessica. And it was like, 2020 started really going into chaos whenever this bitch showed up. And I was like, man, alive. That was this year.
Yeah. That's actually, you posted that. And that was what inspired this book. Yeah,
oh, I love it.
I hope they're like cicadas and they lay dormant and then they come out like every year now in the fall.
Fingers crossed, man. There's a new dating show. I'm not remember what it's called. Someone was like, if you like Love is Blind, you should watch XXX. And I just like wasn't in the headspace to do that at the moment. And so I just kind of forgot, but I'm going to find out what it is and dig in. This has reawakened the need for that.
Cool. What's next for you?
Okay, the next thing for me is a movie on Amazon called The Lie. I believe it was Blumhouse who did a partnership with Amazon this year, and they released like 3 or 4 direct-to-Amazon movies. And this was another kind of like weekend day, and we were like, ugh, we don't have any good content. So we watched this movie, and it was like, surprisingly effective. It's a super simple premise, but like the end, like slapped me in the fucking face and I just didn't see it coming. And I just was like, maybe the bar is low, because I feel like partaking in new content in 2020, like, you know, fresh new content, it was clearly filmed pre-COVID. Like, if it just like didn't make me want to kill myself, it was like pretty good use of an afternoon, I guess. You know what I mean? And I feel like this movie, The Lie on Amazon, was actually not bad if you're, you know, kind of into a thriller, psychological thriller kind of situation.
How scary is it?
Oh, it's not scary at all. It's more just like kind of a mystery thriller. It's not scary.
Neat. Okay. I will put in that my next fuck, which is the remake of The Invisible Man.
Oh.
With what's her fucking face?
Handmaid's Tale, Elizabeth Moss.
Yeah, thank you. She's great. It's great. I think it was a great take on The Invisible Man, where it, you know, it's also, is this woman crazy? Is she not crazy? I found all of the like end game twists I saw coming a million miles away. I would say you and I are better at predicting those than most people. So I'm not going to like judge it too hard on that. Like, I think most people see them coming. But I did like the general take on that, you know, horror movie villain in this way. So
that was the last movie that we saw in theaters before everything happened. And so it kind it has a bad taste in my mouth, only because I'm like, ugh, really, my last movie in theaters was Invisible Man with Elizabeth Moss. But like, you know, it was fine. We watched it again since on HBO, because again, what else are we doing? Yeah, she's great. I wish Handmaid's Tale were better, but she is fantastic.
Yeah, I just don't need him until in my life, both experiencing and watching for entertainment.
Same. Okay, the next one for me is, I don't think I talked about this, I might have, is a documentary on Disney Plus called Howard.
Is it about Howard the Duck? Because
no, it's about Howard. I'm going to forget his damn last name. He's a legendary like lyricist, writer for Disney, like responsible for the songs in Little Mermaid, The Lion King, and Beauty and the Beast. And it's a documentary about his life, coming into what he did previous to Disney and then coming into Disney and creating these, I mean, iconic songs, and then and living with HIV/AIDS and his eventual death. Premature death. It was a really touching documentary. And also, as somebody who grew up on those movies, it was just like, you know, I didn't know that one single guy had the brain to make all of these songs from these, like, you know, Oscar winning movies, basically. It's just really amazing to see this person be so incredibly creative and brilliant. So on Disney Plus, just a nice little doc.
Yeah, that's wonderful. I hadn't even heard of that. Next one for me, everybody's heard of this, The Good Place. I think it's always masterful when a show seems like it's painting itself into a corner and then aha, they haven't, and that's so hard to do. Most of the time it doesn't work out, and the finale was just amazing. So yeah,
spoiler alert, I had that on my Mary, but I'll cover it here. +1, +1, +1. The Good Place finale wrecked me, and I'm just sad that it's over, but I'm glad that it happened. okay, I think... Yeah, I'll go with this one. We talked about this, I think, probably on our last full episode, but I just want to reiterate that the virtual Emmys were actually very good, and I was very surprised by how good they were. And I feel like they set a pretty high bar for virtual Oscars, which are happening in April. So I'm kind of just waiting to see kind of what happens in virtual award show land. But I think the Emmys set a pretty high bar. I was pleasantly surprised with that. So
yeah, that's good. I will also say, I don't have any more, but I'm a electing not to do things that like everybody else is talking about. So like, sorry if this like kneecap some of your Marys, but like everybody's really like hot to trot about like The Mandalorian and Better Call Saul and things like that. Are those two like the first two on your...
No, I think Mandalorian is on here, but Better Call Saul hasn't been on for a while, so I didn't even think about it.
Okay, cool, cool, cool. But like, you know, I was looking at a lot of the other like best of lists and I was like, you know, everybody else is talking about those. Let's talk about things that are best that, you know, aren't obvious.
Yeah, no, that's totally fair. Cool, cool. Okay, so we're done with our fucks. We're going to move on to our Marys now.
All right, Brandy, you start us off with the Marys.
Okay. Pen 15 season 2 was perfect, better than season 1. Yeah, there's really no commentary except that I don't know what we did to deserve the show that is Pen 15, and I'm just so happy that it exists.
It is also on my Mary list. The only thing I will add is I've said this before, and it is absolutely true about this show. Shows that are so unique and different, and I just marvel at how did the show get made? Like what happened in the pitch? Because like, there's nothing about the show that seems like something a white male 35 to 55 year old man would say yes to. And yet here we are, and yay that it happened.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. I'm just so glad that it's here. And if you haven't watched season 2, boy, get on it. All right, Kristen, what's your first Mary?
Okay, so this is a kind of obscure one. I can't remember if you and I have talked about this at all ever. So this is on Netflix. It's called Darren Brown's The Push.
Yes.
And it's spelled D-E-R-R-E-N, Brown's The Push. So Darren Brown is a celebrity in the UK that does these crazy larger-than-life social experiments. And this is just like, I think it's like a 2-hour movie special specifically made for Netflix. And the whole premise is, can he convince normal everyday people to commit murder? And the rest, then the show happens, right? And it is fucking fascinating. It has changed the way I see the world.
We didn't talk about it, but my husband and I watched that and I had completely forgotten about it, but it will blow your fucking mind. I highly recommend. I agree. Great pick.
Yeah. I became acutely aware at the end of watching it that like my mouth hurt from being like open. Like I didn't even know I was doing it. I was like, oh, my mouth hurts. I was like, oh, it's because I'm literally like my jaw is as wide open as it can be, like not on the floor, but like I was just, yeah. Crazy, crazy show. All right, Brandy, what's next for you?
Did I mention that Quibi is dead? Because I also want to marry. It's not just a fuck for me. But moving on beyond that, we didn't get a chance to talk about this. And I know everyone's talking about it, but sorry, Kristen. I'm going to go with The Queen's Gambit on Netflix.
Oh, yeah. No, it was originally on my marry list too. And then I was like, maybe I'll take it off. No, I like it a lot.
Yeah, I thought it was great. The main actress, Anya Taylor-Joy, posted that it was like the most watched thing on Netflix, like original series ever, and the fastest consumed thing that they had created. And so, and it's about chess and it's about like a woman and it's set in it's like a period piece. And I just think all of those things, the fact that it's the most watched thing just makes me so fucking happy.
Yeah. And also, now chess sets, like sales of chess sets have like gone through the roof, and like chess.com has like an increased membership of, you know, billions or whatever.
I love it.
I also love that I was watching it with I'd already watched it and then I rewatched it with my boyfriend, and like halfway through we were just like, you know, having coffee, you know, not watching the show. And he's like, yeah, I really want to read more about whatever the main girl's name is. And, you know, what she was like in real life. And I'm like, oh, this is based on a book, like a fiction book. This is not real. And he's like, what?
Hilarious.
And it's like, you know, it was done that well. Right. So
yeah,
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he was really sad.
But it definitely has the feel of like a biopic story. Mm-hmm. So I can definitely see that. But
no, yeah. I actually looked it up, right? Like when I first started watching it, I was like, is this based on a real person? And there was like, no, it's a book. So I was like, oh, okay, cool. Cool, cool.
Cool. All right, Kristen.
Okay, so mentioned this on the show already. I'm just going to follow up and make sure everybody watches it on Netflix. The German show Babylon Berlin. It is the single best show that has ever been made. Like better than Breaking Bad. Better. I finally am caught up to the whole thing. Best fucking show. Just watch it. Everybody watch it.
Just watch the fucking show.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Still haven't tried it. I'm sorry. I haven't got into it.
But. You'll by the end of the first episode, you'll be like, God damn it. Why did I watch this sooner?
Okay. My next one is the combo duo of Folklore and Evermore being released by Taylor Swift. She released two albums in a pandemic, and I'm just really glad that she didn't hang on to that shit because she's just so calculated and she plans years in advance of how she's going to do these things. And I'm just really glad that she was like, I have music, here it is. And she gave us, you know, like 30 songs in the span of like 6 months, and they're all great. And I can't even tell you the amount of times that I've listened to Exile while taking a bath. So, you know, crying, if you cry while you're in the bath, it doesn't feel as though you're crying. Just a hot tip for those of you out there. Anyway, so I love both of those very much.
I'm pretty sure that the reason why Reese Witherspoon looks so young is because she bathes in other people's tears. So there's probably something very healing and restorative about it too.
I'm going to go with that.
Okay. What We Do in the Shadows is on a lot of best of lists, but not enough of them for me to feel like I couldn't include it here. Best fucking show. So fucking funny. It's basically like The Office, but with vampires. And if you haven't watched it, it's on Hulu. It's on FX. It's amazing.
Love, 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 love. I refer to certain people now as, what's his name? Clint Robinson? Colin Robinson.
Yeah.
Like people, like there are real, now I'm just like, oh my God, that person is defo an energy vampire. Like that's a real part of my vernacular now.
Right. So just real quick explanation. If you haven't seen What We Do in the Shadows, the three of the four main characters are, you know, classic, what you think of like Victorian vampires. Right. But then the fourth vampire that lives in this house with them is something that's invented on this show called an energy vampire. And it's every boring person and every like just inane person you've ever met in real life, like modern times, that like you just can't get away from fast enough, that they like suck your life force. They're so like, it's not always that they're boring, but like there's something about them that's just mm-hmm. life sucking. And God, it's fucking funny. Whoever came up with, because that wasn't in the movie that was
right
based on. So whoever came up with that deserves a raise.
Like imagine Creed from The Office, or not Creed, Toby from The Office, but like when he talks to you, your soul is just like, your energy is just like sucked away. Like it's the Toby. Colin Robinson is the Toby of What We Do in the Shadows. Okay. So I'm going to do two shows that are probably overhyped for this season that they had this year, but that's going to be The Mandalorian season 2 and The Crown season 4. The Mandalorian season 2, I thought was great, but the finale was like kick you in the crotch. Excellent. Just like really spectacularly done and just love it so much. Teared up a little. Like, I mean, it was just, there were just a moment where I just was like a little verklempt. And then The Crown season 4, this is the season where Diana is introduced. And first of all, the actress they got to play her is uncanny. Even in her voice, it is like really just some, I mean, I can't get over how much she sounds and looks like her. It's truly bizarre, but she does an excellent, excellent job. But also, The Crown season 4 feels a lot like The Crown season 1, where it's a little more, they dig into a little more of their sort of like soapy, gossipy nature of kind of this time period that they were in. And it feels a little more kind of like salacious and interesting. Season two was a real, was good, but season three was a real bore. If you've watched season one and season two and you want to get to Diana, totally skip season three and just watch the recap. You do not need to watch it. But season four, like, it has, it was absolutely top notch. So.
Yeah, I will say, I'll call myself out. I gave season three a fuck or a marry, and like, I completely take that back. I stopped watching the season. I got so fucking bored, and I did exactly what you're saying. I just skipped to the next season, and it was great. I will say, it just made me, and it's like, because I've read all of the backlash that Prince Charles and Camilla are facing now from people watching the show. And it's really easy to see why that's happening, because they paint Charles in particular as like just the biggest fucking fuck face. Bad. And it's like, I tend to take everything I watch with a grain of salt, because I've seen how the sausage is made and I know how much of everything is just so fucking fake, even reality shows. Like, I mean,
yeah,
nobody that listens to our show is going to be surprised by that. But people do take so much reality from what they see, even if they don't think they do. And so when I was watching it, knowing that the, you know, real humans in real life were getting death threats and stuff like that, I was like, okay, I'm going to try not to let myself get carried away. But even with that, like, you know, filter on, I was like, this guy fucking sucks. Fuck him. Right. And like, I stopped watching it for a while because it made me so angry. Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
I guess that's good. Yeah. That's a good show that can get you to much.
Yes, I agree. All right, Kristen.
Okay, so something that I listened to that you don't know this about me, Brandy, but something I listen to almost every day, especially in these COVID times, is ASMR videos.
What?
Yeah, and
you're an ASMR person? I can't believe I didn't know this.
Yeah, like I fuck it. Well, it's really specific. So if you're not familiar with ASMR, I think it's like audio sensory. It's go YouTube it. It's fucking hilarious. There's all these weirdos online like clicking nails on pencil cases and shit. And it's really, if you're the type of person where if someone whispers in your ear and it makes you like your shoulder like kind of cringe up to your ear, like it kind of like sends something down your body, then you have an ASMR response. Not everybody has it. But I can remember my mom like being cute to me when I was little and whispering in my ear. And it always was like, it was pleasurable, but also like kind of drives you insane. Like it's kind of like when somebody hits your funny bone, but like more pleasurable than that. And so I always kind of enjoyed them, but it was a little bit of like an embarrassing guilty pleasure. Like I was a little too socially aware to like even by myself sit there and watch the videos because they are pretty goofy. But then, you know, COVID happened. And so I found myself like really getting into one ASMR YouTuber in particular. She's this blonde Russian lady, and her YouTube page is called Gentle Whispering.
Oh boy.
But like now I've even gotten more like of a deep cut. So I really enjoy her videos that are of hair shampooing. So like, it just sounds like someone shampooing your hair. So I'm just going to play a little bit of that for you right now. It's just audio. It's not the video.
She talks during it.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot. She has like thousands of videos on YouTube. I just listen to the Spotify because I listen to them while I'm like laying in a hammock or I might even be doing work. And, but like her videos you know, like they're like, I'm sure for many people, they're like mildly sexual. Mm-hmm. You know, because she's a cute lady, but she's not like sexually dressed or anything, you know, but she's like tapping nails on things. Like, and sometimes it's just like whisper talking, you know, and stuff like that. But anyway,
I did not know that about you.
This is definitely a Mary for me. And during these COVID times, having something that can just like help you decompress and doesn't cost anything, I'll take it.
She was like talking while she was doing the shampooing. Is the whispering always part of it?
Not always. Sometimes they're okay. Like, no, sometimes it's just, but like, this is why it's kind of like mildly sexual, is there's like a lot of role playing. Like sometimes she'll pretend like she's like an optometrist, and sometimes she's giving you a facial and so it's like, you know, she's playing a part. So in that one, she's playing the part of your hairstylist who's giving you a shampoo, and she's like talking about how great your hair is and stuff.
Weird. Absolutely no judgment, but fucking weird.
I don't even care. Like, people can judge me. I really enjoy it. It is great. And
I love it. I love it.
All right, Brandy, let's get out of this and on to something less embarrassing for me.
Okay. So I also have two books on my Mary list. One of them is called Tuesday Mooney Talks to Ghosts. And I would describe it as Ready Player One meets Clue. It's a kind of murder mystery scavenger hunt type deal. It's set in Boston. The main chick, Tuesday Mooney, is like, you know, like from Boston or Salem, I think. And she's like into spooky shit. And she's like super smart. And she would be like us if we were like trying to partake in like a Clue scavenger hunt kind of thing to try to figure out, like find a big pile of money. It's really great. And then the second book is from Lindy West. She's the writer of Shrill. The show is based on her original book. And she came out with a book called Shit, Actually. I'm going to show you the cover. But it's basically a collection of essays that she wrote. I wouldn't say reviewing like popular movies that have come out over the last 30 years. But it's almost kind of like a sardonic review / recap. And they're all hysterical. I mean, when I tell you that I was reading this and I was just cackling out loud, I mean, like, it is so, so funny and just cathartic. And she does all the like big movies that you know from like growing up. She's got like The Fugitive. She's got like Top Gun, Bad Boys, Love Actually, The Notebook. Like, she's got all the big ones, and her take on them is all just full of fire and so, so funny. And she has a rating system, and she rates all the books 0 out of 10 DVDs of The Fugitive because she considers The Fugitive the best movie, which I find hysterical. The Fugitive is a great movie. But one of my favorite things, excuse me, I don't have the Rona, is in her Top Gun chapter, she finds all of the like nicknames, and she finds Top Gun itself just a hysterical romp. I'm going to read just a small portion right at the beginning of Top Gun when you're getting introduced to everybody. I'm going to try to read it without laughing, because when I tried to reread it back to my husband, I couldn't because I thought it was so funny because I'm a dork. So she says, at Top Gun, Maverick and Goose meet their instructor, Viper, their nemesis, Iceman, and all the other guys in the program. Sniffer, Stinky, Stumpy, Candle, Bandit, Rotwurst, Rapunzel, Little Horsey, Dustpan, Corncob, Marge, Pee-Pee Boy, Flipper, and Bing Bong. Maverick is pretty arrogant, but Viper likes that in a pilot. Why? Maverick is positive that he will be the number one Top Gun. Why? Goose. This list is long, but distinguished. Bing Bong. Yeah, so is my Johnson. So that just gives you a little bit of an idea of her take on movies. And like, I mean, I would reread it. I would gift this book to anybody who loves movies. Like, it would be a great gift. It's just so, so, so funny. And I cannot recommend it enough.
So I'm going to need you to message me, text me the names of these books, because I don't read with my eyes anymore, but I do download all the books on Audible. Ooh. While I'm doing everything else and in between my ASMR jaunts. So I want to listen to both of those books.
I will. This one I bet would be excellent as an audiobook.
Amazing. Amazing. Especially if she reads it. So also in the audio panoply, I really have been into the Daily Podcast, which is the New York Times morning podcast. You just made like a vomit face. I just
I'll tell you why.
The guy's voice I really enjoy, and like they just spend like 20 minutes a day talking about a topic that's like always in the fucking news, but like they actually give you more real information about it, not just like the three AP talking points, which I really appreciate. Like one I was just listening to was about, you know, I'm sure you've heard in the news that America turned down 100 million doses of the Pfizer vaccine back like a couple months ago. And so now America is behind other countries because we said no to that. And so this is like, why did that happen? Right. And so they really do a good job of breaking down step by step how that happened. And I think it's really interesting. So that's one podcast I'm loving right now. Another podcast I'm loving right now is the Revisionist History Podcast, which is by Malcolm Gladwell. It's a very popular podcast. So, you know, almost as popular as ours. And it's just like Malcolm Gladwell is just delightful. And when I need more content to be delighted by right now and not put upon, I really enjoy that one. Tell me why you don't like The Daily.
I can't stand that guy's voice or how he talks. It is, apparently, it is so maddening to me because to me, it sounds like he's putting on like a movie trailer voice constantly. And I can't stand that. I do agree that the couple episodes that I listened to over the summer, like I enjoy the information, but I cannot listen to that guy's voice at all.
That's so funny. Like, that's the, do you like ASMR?
No.
Well, that might
be. I'm beginning to see a link here, I think, yeah. With his voice and your ASMR.
Yeah, totally. That's it. Okay. Cool.
Cool. Okay. My last one is, I don't believe we got a chance to talk about this, but it's old news now, but what isn't? Adele on SNL was fabulous and one of the high points of this season. Specifically her skit where she was a contestant on The Bachelor, and when things didn't go her way, she broke into song. And I found that it was exactly what we needed. We wanted her to sing, but she wasn't there to sing. And yet she gave us the gift of song anyway, and it was perfect. Have you seen it?
No.
Oh, well, maybe I should just play a little clip.
Yes!
And this was a hard decision, but I've decided to give the first impression rose to Hannah C.
Wait, well, you're giving it to Hannah C?
I heard that you're settled down.
Adele?
That you found a girl and you're married now.
Adele,
I heard that your dreams came true.
Adele, hey, sorry, I am not married to Hannah C. It was just the one rose. You're still in this.
I am?
Yes, girl. And there's like 40 episodes left, so I'd pace yourself emotionally. Because we've been here 10 minutes, and you've already sung that a few times.
Oh, right. Sorry about that. Sorry.
Yeah, I'd say.
So the skit goes on for many more instances of that. And at one point she's singing in a bush and she's springing it on everyone. And it was just a real, real highlight of the fall. And I miss Adele.
Yeah, I miss Adele too. She looks lovely there. And she's actually singing. Like, that's actually her singing, like right then, which is also another reason why she's amazing.
I know. It just proved she's perfect.
Yeah, no Ashley Simpsoning for her.
No. Okay, that was my last Mary. Are we all through with the Marys?
I'm ready to do some killing.
All right, let's kill it. All right, Kristen, what's your first kill of 2020?
Okay, so like I've been having serious deja vu all of this episode or not. I'm in my mind. I'm like, no, we didn't talk about that. And I'm like, wait, did we talk about that? And I don't know. So like, I don't know if we talked about this on the pod. I don't know if we talked about this in real life.
Okay.
But I'm just going to talk about it now and pretend we've never talked about it before.
Okay.
So I'm going to kill the HBO show Euphoria.
Oh.
Did we talk about this?
I can't remember, but I don't watch it because it looks like it's sad.
Yes. That's why I never watched it. Because I was like, I need to protect the little baby chicken in my soul. And, you know, all the pointy objects will just go straight through her fluff. But my boyfriend was like, no, you need to watch it. It's so good. It's so good. And so like, within the first 10 minutes, there are two really terrible, like sexually aggressive things that happen to teen girls. And then a young transgender girl gets raped in a hotel room.
Oh, and boy.
Graphic. And terrible. And within 10 seconds, I stood up and I said, I cannot watch this anymore. And went into the kitchen and started weeping and cleaning dishes. And it ruined my like month. So like, I just don't get why anybody would like, you don't need to do that shit, right? Like it's not art. It's not art. It's not entertainment. It is torture porn. And I hate it. I fucking hate it.
Well, you pretty much sealed the deal on me never watching that show. And I'm glad that I never tried it. Ugh, I'm so sorry. That sounds horrible and exactly like what I thought that show might have on it. And I don't want to watch that.
Yeah, there you go. Well, lighten the mood up, Brandy.
Here we go. Okay, so my first kill is the fact that Netflix canceled Teenage Bounty Hunters. I think it might be my biggest pop culture kill of 2020, just because we talked about the show on this pod, and I think it was one of the funniest, smartest, most original things to come out, not only this year, but in recent years. It was female created, female led. It was funny and smart and queer and just like unlike anything I'd really ever seen. And it did everything perfect and Netflix fucking canceled it. And I cannot get over some of the things that Netflix continues to make or greenlight and the fact that they canceled that show. It was also huge on social media. And so again, Netflix never releases like numbers hardly ever, but I feel like, I don't know. It seems sus to me that show didn't have enough ratings for them to continue on when they keep making like Sugar Rush, and I'm just like, what the fuck? So I'm still really, really salty about that because I thought that show was absolutely excellent.
Well, I was going to save this for my like ultimate kill, but because it's subject matter adjacent, I will just go ahead and do it now. So I want to kill the fact that Netflix canceled Glow.
Yeah.
And they did, I mean, like they were really transparent about like, they didn't want to do it. They're, you know, the last season ended on a cliffhanger and the last season Netflix told Jenji Cohen, make whatever you want to make. You can write this. There was no like editorial direction from them. They were super supportive of the show. They always have been. But then COVID happened and the numbers guys determined that it wasn't a cost-effective show to make during COVID because there's so many large scenes and people are all up in everybody's faces and breathing with, you know, it's just like a very dangerous show in a COVID world to make. And they couldn't hold the show to post-COVID because of actors' contracts and things. So they decided to just not do the last season, which leaves me like, I'm sorry for this crude analogy. It's the only one I can think of right now with like the biggest pop culture blue balls. Like, I just can't, I need to know what happens to Marc Maron and Big Blue Eyes. and I know her name. I just don't know her right now.
Allison Brie.
Yeah, thank you. It really chapped my ass. So
yeah, the graveyard of good entertainment due to COVID, I think will be vast, and that sucks.
Yeah.
Boo. Yeah. Boo. Okay. So my next kill is something that we didn't get a chance to talk about, and I'm so, so sad, but we're going to talk about it now. And that is HBO Max's reimagining of The Witches, starring Anne Hathaway.
Your favorite now, person.
My favorite person. And first of all, it was not good. And second of all, spoiler alert, if you've never seen The Witches, but also who fucking cares? The end of this movie, the kids stay turned into rats. And I'm just like, I was so shook by that I'm like, what kind of movie do they make for kids where the kids have to live out the rest of their life as fucking rats? Like, they didn't really prevail against the witches. They're still rats. But alas, I sidetrack. That is not the main reason why I hated this movie. The main reason why I hated this movie is a clip I'm going to show you.
Witches. They're real. And they hate children.
Welcome.
What would you do if there were mice running all around in this hotel?
I would call the exterminator.
You see, girls? He would exterminate those brats.
Rats. We would exterminate the rats.
So, not sure if you could figure out what I wanted to talk about. Do you want to take a stab at it?
No, I don't know. There's a lot there, Brandy.
So Anne Hathaway does this accent throughout the whole movie that at times is vague Eastern European. At other times, it is almost Irish sounding. At other times, it's borderline like Jamaican. It is all over the place. It is an absurd, absurd choice for her. There was no accents in the original from what I remember. Like that wasn't, they were just kind of using their own sultry, you know, dulcet tones to be super witchy, but nobody had some like crazy affect. It completely, even if the movie were, which it was, just okay, her accent takes you so far out of it that like I could not get over it. It is, and to watch a whole movie of that, she obviously is just like chewing that scenery. And she probably has just wanted to have some big hammy performance like this for her whole career. But the accent, I cannot get over their decision to do that. And it ruins any semblance of a chance that this movie had of being even remotely entertaining.
Yeah. I mean, it got a lot of shit for the witches having hand disfigurements that mimic very closely disfigurements that people have in real life, and children in particular are made fun of for. And so it's like, don't take a physical difference that children are persecuted for and make it part of your villains. So that's the shit it got in the media. And that was a thing. I always wanted there to be a remake because I remember the watching the one with Angelica Houston as a kid, and like she was so scary, and I really liked her. That's all I really remember about it. Do they say rats in that one too?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think they do. But also the kids, do they get frozen in the oil paintings?
No, not in the remake.
Okay. All right. Well, anyway, I digress. We've talked about this too much, but yeah, I can see why you kill it.
Bad news. Okay. What's up next?
So, I also want to kill everything that Bill Burr has ever done.
That tracks so hard. Okay. Sorry.
Yeah. I mean, like, I am all for like un-PC humor. Like that's like the humor that I like the best, but like actually make it funny, not just like women are cunts. Am I right? Like,
yeah.
Like that's not a joke. Like that's just words, you know? And so that's what I think about him.
Fair. No counterpoint. Okay, my next one is The Undoing on HBO. Fart noise forever. What a fucking waste of time.
They should have cast somebody besides Nicole Kidman.
Yeah, you know, I wouldn't disagree with that. I thought Hugh Grant was absolutely excellent.
Right.
But the story was ultimately dumb, and yeah, felt like a waste of 7 hours.
No, his casting, never has there been more perfect casting in anything ever for anything.
Yeah, inspired.
Yeah, but that's the best thing I can say about it. Also, the little boy was an amazing actor.
Yeah, I really liked him too. Also, Nicole's hair and her clothes looked fantastic, but beyond that, pass.
Yeah. Donald Sutherland's eyebrows, like,
give him an Emmy just for the eyebrows.
I think there was one caught in there.
Probably. Yeah, that guy also excellent.
Yeah.
All right, what's up next?
So the Goop Lab TV show on Netflix. I want to kill that, not for the reason you'd think. So I would, not a fan of Goop. Not a total Gwyneth hater, because I think that has a lot, is just like a lot of systemic sexism. But I do think that the show should have really been like peak Goop. Like if it was a show about Goop shit that was peak Goop, that would have been fucking amazing.
Yeah.
It was just really boring. Like it was, you know, like one of the best things about the Goop brand is that it is unapologetically rich. It is unapologetically frivolous. It is unapologetically kind of irreverent and wrong. Like they're just things that are wrong and they don't fucking care. Right. And I'm not saying that's good for humanity, but it would make for an excellent fucking TV show. And somehow it was just really boring.
Oh, kind of surprised, but okay, won't dig into that.
Do not care enough about it to talk more. Go for it.
Okay, my next one is going to be this latest season of Fargo. It had Chris Rock, Jason Schwartzman, Timothy Olyphant, lots of other people. Look, I think Fargo 1 and 2 were fucking excellent. Season 3 with Ewan McGregor, not so much. This looked amazing, but the story was not there. It just didn't have the same elements that make it Fargo, right? Like you and I talked about this offline, but they just weren't there. Like, yeah, Chris Rock looked great. You know, Jason Schwartzman, given his most Schwartzman, Timothy Olyphant, just Olyphanting all over the place. But, you know, the story just really wasn't there. It didn't have the same kind of kooky, but underlying kind of scary thriller mystery type pieces that all come together in some crazy way. It just didn't have that. It was just basically like a mob story, and that was very boring to me. And so kind of disappointed in that.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah. What's next?
So we talked about Space Force. That is definitely on the kill list, but that's like on everybody's kill list, right? Just like so much potential totally wasted. Creators of the
Except
Office.
That it got renewed for season 2.
I think they've got to like scrap some shit. And I if season 2 is not excellent, then
we riot.
Yeah, totally. But also Avenue 5 was also terrible.
So bad.
I'm kind of one of these people that's like HBO puts out normally, you know, good stuff, but like, man, that was just, it was like embarrassingly bad.
Bad.
Yeah.
Very, very bad. And it was from good people, the people who made Veep. And so it had, I mean, the pedigree was there.
Right. No, it's totally. It's a Space Force part two.
Yeah. Well, Space Force part three, I wasn't going to talk about this, but now that you brought that up, I want to kill the fact that there is another space parody show coming to Showtime called Moonbase 8 that basically looks and walks and sounds exactly like fucking Space Force. Also, both Space Force and Moonbase 8 feel very white and male. And I'm just like, are we still doing this right now? Like, I feel like we should be maybe not doing this at this moment in time, but I'm also just like, do we really need another fucking space parody show? And so that makes me mad. Let's cancel Glow. Let's cancel Teenage Bounty Hunters, but by God, give me one more space parody.
Yep. My next one, this is a deep cut. The trailer was really cool and I love me some Armie Hammer. The remake of Rebecca that was on Netflix.
Ugh.
Was terrible.
Terrible.
So terrible.
Looked gorgeous.
Yeah, Lily James is great and everything. And Armie Hammer, I just don't have any complaints on him. And Kristen Scott Thomas, where's she been? I don't know, but like usually puts in a good show. Mm-hmm. This was just not good. Like it was not good at all.
No, it was very bad. Agree. Okay, my next one is I thought that SNL's handling of the political coverage, i.e. when they were doing all the cold opens for all of the debates and all the stuff really leading up to the immediate preceding events of the election, was really piss poor. I think obviously Maya Rudolph as Kamala is excellent and she's always going to be funny, but, and I know that they don't really have a choice, I guess, but like in a world in which those debates and all the events leading up to the election this year were like, what's a word that means beyond absurd? Like they were just so out of a different reality. You really can't make those funny, and, or maybe you can, but they definitely didn't do that. And it just felt like I was watching like somebody who heard about the debate telling somebody else about the debate. Like it just felt very much like hearsay and it just wasn't very funny. And also I didn't really like Jim Carrey as Joe Biden either. I did just hear that he's not going to be playing Joe Biden anymore. And in fact, on this last episode, this past Saturday, they had one of the regular cast members playing him. He just did not do it for me. It seemed like he was always really nervous and he was having trouble kind of remembering his lines or reading his cue cards. And it just didn't vibe with me. And so I felt like they've done such good stuff in the past for election coverage that this fell really, really short.
Yeah, it was like the drunk history of this election cycle.
Yeah.
No, I mean, it's kind of one of those things, like when you Simone Biles it, you stick the landing with, you know, Tina Fey is Sarah Palin and Bernie is Larry David. And, you know, they've had so many like just home runs over the years that something mediocre just seems even worse.
So much worse. I really wish that they had been able to get Jason Sudeikis back to play Biden.
Or I love his Biden.
Me too. Or even Woody Harrelson, because for a few stints he did Biden and it was also very funny. I don't really know why either of them weren't available, but it's a shame.
Yeah. I mean, they probably don't get paid. I'm guessing they don't get paid or they get paid very little. And it's more just for the LOLs and the prestige. And in which case, you know, I mean, because like Jim Carrey, you know, yeah. And like Woody Harrelson's like, you know, no, I need to like jerk off high with my bongo. I know that's Matthew McConaughey, but still he probably does that
same
too.
Same diff.
Yeah. Anyway.
All right. What's your next one?
Run sucked on HBO. We've already talked about it. Don't need to talk more. It was another one in the promise not fulfilled category.
I will agree with that. No further commentary.
Sorry. Sorry, favorite fan, favorite listener of ours, Kristen. what's your next one, dude?
My next one is the HBO Max rollout. That fucking app, A, sucks. B, B, their rollout was so botched that you didn't know if you already had it. You didn't know if it was replacing HBO Go or HBO Now. It was so fucking confusing. I know that they probably got people signing up for it and paying money, even though they actually probably already had access to it, because I almost did that. And they have had some good stuff come out this year. I will give them that. But the fact that they weren't available on Roku until, like, what's today, the 21st? 4 days ago, when the app itself launched like 6 months ago, made me want to die. Like, bitch, if you can't come to an agreement with Roku before you launch and it's available across everything, then I'm sorry, you need to wait on your launch, because that's just stupid.
Wait, I have a Roku and I've been watching HBO Max.
That's impossible, because they just made it available on December 17th. It's been available on other platforms like Apple TV, I think Fire Sticks. You can Chromecast it, obviously, but it has not been an app itself on the Roku until like this past week.
Have you seen Tenet?
No, we haven't.
Oh, well, maybe HBO Max Tenet did into my TV. That, for people who get that, they get it.
Maybe.
The last one I've got is I'm thinking about ending things, which I also already talked about on the show.
Yeah.
But it's just like, I hate when things are like, we're smart, so we're going to be extra confusing. Like, no, it's just bad writing. Yeah. Anyway.
Hard pass. Okay. I'll combine my last couple into one, because they're all from Netflix. And so the first one is the Kimmy Schmidt interactive movie. Sucked. I don't like when people do interactive crap. I didn't like when Black Mirror did it, although when Black Mirror did it, it was at least super interesting and, you know, wormhole-y and stuff. But the Kimmy Schmidt interactive movie, just, it wasn't there. The comedy wasn't there. I wish they had just done like one big wrap-up episode or something and left it at that. It was fucking bad. Another thing that came out just a few weeks ago was Selena the series. High promise fucking sucks so hard. I'm so disappointed that it sucks so bad. Not only does it feel like kind of whitewashed, like there are definitely situations in which they should be speaking Spanish, like there's no reason that they wouldn't be speaking Spanish, and the interactions feel very stilted and unnatural, but also the script is not there. And also, if you thought this was going to be at all more enlightening or have different content than the movie from the 90s with J-Lo, you would be wrong. This is basically, the first episode is basically beat for beat the first half hour of the movie. The only difference about the series is that there's even less focus on Selena herself. It's very much about Abraham, her dad, and her brother and her sister, and like the family band dynamics. And that only happens in the very beginning part of the movie. And then it's like Selena, right? This is like very much about the siblings and the dad. And it's just not a lot of new content, which, you know, they keep their story and their legacy and stuff very close to the vest. It's, you know, executive produced by, I think, her sister, possibly also her dad. So it's a family joint, but just not good in any way. And I found that very disappointing. And then the last thing from Netflix that also came out this fall that sucked ass was Hubie Halloween, which was the Adam Sandler Halloween movie.
Like, why? Why did that even get, like, like, I'm so annoyed that Netflix gave Adam Sandler like five dump trucks of money and he just makes whatever he makes. And it's always with the, like, I watched like 2 seconds of it in passing, you know, my boyfriend was watching it and I saw it on TV and I'm like, is he playing someone with special needs and he's like making fun of them? Because that's the way it came off in like the, like, 2 seconds that I watched it.
So like, that's the general vibe, right? So like old Adam Sandler had such a vibe. He would put on goofy accents. His movies would be so over the top, silly. They all had similar themes. Like, there's the larger than life bullies who all make fun of a kid who might have like a development problem, or like loves his mom too much. And like everyone in the town is super mean. And it's just like, I realized why, like, I didn't have high expectations, right? But A, he set the movie in Salem and it's about Halloween. That is speaking my language, okay? So I'm, of course, going to watch it. But he has this act, speaking of accents that ruin everything, he puts on this voice affect that A, is super hard to understand, and B, it definitely made me think, like, is he supposed to be developmentally challenged or not? Because it's very unclear. And either side of the line that they would answer that on makes me feel super uncomfortable, especially because part of the conceit of the movie is that he's grown up his whole life being this like very specific way. And everyone in the town finds him super fucking annoying, and everybody's a huge bully to him and being super mean and like throwing garbage and tripping his bike up. And I'm just like, obviously I know bullies exist, having experienced them in my life. I know that like not everyone is super nice to kids that have special needs, but like the over the top whole town hates on this kind of special person for no fucking reason except that they're different is really old hat in 2020. Like, I just don't have space for that in my pop culture zeitgeist. I do not have space for that in my brain or my heart. And it just doesn't read well. Like, it feels so outdated to do that now. And it made the whole, also, I almost beg you to watch it only for this one thing, which is the hot lady in it is Julie Bowen from Modern Family. And the script that they write for her, the things that they have her say to and about Adam Sandler's character, she becomes, they fall in love, spoiler alert, are so badly written that the first time she said something like it, I thought she was being like facetious. Like, I thought she was like kind of being a bully to him because she was like joking. But then every time she opened her mouth after that, when interacting with him, it was like that. And it's a joke. Like, I almost beg you to search those interactions out because I can't describe how bad they are. And I feel bad that she had to say those things. Anyway, all in all, Hubie Halloween was a fucking turd covered in Halloween sprinkles. And I just am mad that it even exists.
Okay.
So, whew, thanks for coming to my TED talk about Hubie Halloween. I'm like sweating. I got really overworked about that, but I think I've been holding on to it since Halloween, to be quite honest with you.
And America needs a really fucking good new Halloween movie, god damn it.
Yes, thank you. That is what, yes, thank you. I think maybe that's also why I was so upset. I was like, Halloween needs more content, and you definitely just fucked right over that. Just,
yeah, I saw the thumbnail. You know how Netflix like experiments with thumbnails? So sometimes the thumbnail is not like, so the one I saw with Hubie Halloween didn't have Adam Sandler in the thumbnail. And I was like, oh, a Halloween movie. And then I clicked on it and like, it was like Happy Gilmore Productions or whatever.
Yep.
And I was like, no.
Yep.
And the first like verifiable, it's him. I was like, nope. And I never went back except in passing when I saw, you know.
Do not recommend. Okay. That's all my kills. I think the thing is that I know that we probably missed some. I know we couldn't cover everything. It was a long year, but
yeah, this has been like an hour and a half long episode. So
yeah,
I think you guys are probably ready to tell us what you think about the fuck, marry, and kills for the year. So again, give us a call. I want to hear all the things. Brandy,
what's
the
universe? I want to hear everything. I want to know your FMKs. Our phone number once again is 805-628-BOOP. That's 805-628-2667. You can also find us on Twitter and Instagram at Pop Culture FMK. You can find us on the web at Pop Culture, I think it's popculturefmk.com. I don't have it in front of me. Like I said, it's December 21st, 2020. What do I care? But shout us out. Tell us what we missed. Tell us what you disagree with. Tell us what your 2020 FMKs are. We miss you. It's been a long time since we've talked to you. 2020 has been a hell of a year, but we love you so much. We hope you are staying safe, and we will see you again in the new year to talk about all kinds of, I hope, new and shiny things. We love you so much.
We will hear you next year when you call in. Hopefully we won't see you because we don't need those kind of fans.
What she said. Thanks for listening. Happy holidays. Goodbye 2020.
Bye. Hey, bye.